the estuaries. That's where you get the mixing of the fresh water from the rivers and the streams with the salt water of the sea. What can you say about boats? I mean, we need them for transport, have them for fun. We've got several small boats as a family, a family-sized canoe and a dinghy. It's a reasonably affordable thing to get into. I mean, our dinghy cost us £30, and it cost us more in terms of paint to tart it up than it did to buy the dinghy. In the countryside, you can't just drive wherever you want, but on the water, of course, you can paddle wherever you want, so you can sneak up into creeks, you can do it very quietly, or you can sort of make a lot of noise and go water skiing.
I'm John Christian. I grew up on Brixham Harbour in a pub at the London Inn, which no longer exists. It's a cafe now. And during the summer holidays, you know, it was just the obvious thing to do once you get to know people who come into the pub or you meet in your travels around the harbour. They offer you a job to, you know, to go as a deckhand on a pleasure boat. And my duties involved going out in the morning, which was always very nice on a lovely morning, to go out on the little motorboat out to the mooring where the Gladiator, it was called, which was an old converted trawler, which was good in some ways and bad in others, which I'll explain to you in a moment. But it had brass on their bells and capstan, you know, for the compass and things, and all that had to be polished every day. So it was my job to polish that, then to come in with the skipper, get it moored up alongside the quay and put our chalk boards up, which were blackboards, and you'd put the times of today's cruise and whether or not it would be going all the way to Totnes or whether it would be going up just to Dartmouth and then up to Stoke Gabriel turning and coming back down to Dartmouth, how long they would have ashore, and just those kind of details would change from day to day because of the tides. And that's why it was a good thing and a bad thing to have this boat, because it was an ex-trawler. It had a very deep draft. It had a 6-foot draft, which means there was 6 foot of the boat underwater at the stern, which meant it was governed by the tides much more so. But it was a good thing because we were coming from Brixham, so we could come around in more or less any weather, but obviously we couldn't because of passengers and insurance. But we could get back in any weather, more to the point, which is another story, which maybe we'll get to in a minute. But anyway, that was my role, really, just to polish the boat up, get it ready, put the chalkboard out, and get passengers on board. So they book most of the people from the kiosk. So they had the Brixham Belle, which was like a little kind of liner where we'd do an evening cruise and a bay cruise and, you know, an illuminations cruise, that kind of thing. So, and the skipper of that was Ernie himself, and he'd always dress as a proper captain with the brass buttons and the, you know, the scrambled egg on his cap, like an admiral. And people liked that. The Gladiator, which was the all-day one that went up the River Dart to Totnes and back, that was an open back, 56 passengers. And we were just scruffs, really, you know, just wearing shorts, getting a suntan and enjoying ourselves. And they made plenty of money, you know. The Brixham Belle could get probably 120 people on board. The Gladiator got 56 people on board. And all you needed in those days for a license to do this was to go up to the harbour master's office and have a little chat with him. And I can remember when I went up to get my boatman's license, he asked me to box a compass. So I just went north, south, north, east, south, west. And he said, what's in between north and west? So I said, northwest. So he said, oh, that seems fine. You seem to know where you're going. and wrote me out my little boatman's ticket, and that's all I needed. So I think it was mostly couples, or maybe young families, not too many children. And it would take us maybe 3/4 of an hour to get around the coast to the mouth of the river. And then we'd go up the river, and I used to give them a little commentary on a microphone to tell them, You know, that's where Sir Walter Raleigh's boathouse is, and that's where Richard Dimbleby lives at Didisham. I don't know if he still lives there or if he's still alive even, really. Stoke Gabriel, just give them, you know, local knowledge details. And then sometimes if we went all the way to Totnes, we'd always have deals with cafes or pubs, you know, so as we'd get a free pint or a free dinner, providing we pointed our passengers towards their cafe in Dartmouth, or we moored up on the steps of the steam packet in Totnes. We'd turn our boat, moor it up, ready to go downstream, and leave it till the very last minute. And of course, if people weren't back in their hour, we couldn't wait, you know, because of our deep draft. We had to get downriver. And sometimes, you know, while we were up there for the day, suddenly a southeasterly gale would have blown up. So we'd phone from, you know, from Totnes and say, look, the wind's picked up, what's going to happen? And they say, oh, we phone from Dartmouth. And they'd send a coach down to pick up the passengers at Kingsware. So as the passengers would go home, and then we could take the boat back to Brixham if it was southeasterly. We'd just have to punch the waves out until we got Berry Head in a straight line. We were way past the rocks. And then just we'd have it on the, you know, on the starboard quarter all the way home to Brixham, so it wasn't too bad. But we'd always have people who'd say, oh, we want to come with you. And we'd say, well, it's going to be a bit rough. And they'd say, oh, no, we like rough. But, you know, they really didn't know how rough it was going to be. Sometimes, you know, she'd be leaving the water and smashing down as we came out of the river so we could turn her. A couple of times I can remember people, you know, one woman screaming, clawing her nails, blood coming out of the end of her fingers, on the seats, screaming, God, you know, help me, oh, this is the end. And I said, well, we can't turn around now, you know, this is it, we did warn you. And of course, once we'd come round and we're steaming then towards Brixham and we've got it on the quarter, you know, they calm down a bit then and you can dry their tears and calm them down, but they get hysterical, some of them. I don't know why we let them do it. I guess it was, you know, because we knew what was going to happen, but we'd let them come with us if they were sure they could handle it. And we'd say, are you sure? And they'd say, oh yeah, we like rough sea, but... I lived in Wales for about 10 years, and while I was there, I missed the sea, so I started sketching it and then painting it. So all of that goes on up in my attic studio, the watercolours, gouache painting, and all my framing and mount cutting, and any oil paintings that I might need to do, I do in the conservatory that I've got a corner of the conservatory for. A few shops in Brixham keep my prints and stuff, and they seem to do well in the summertime, so that's okay. I paint mostly from my memories, and sometimes I can be a little inaccurate, which is why I might, you know, take up some of the, my friend's offers of going out on a boat just to be able to get some photographs of the coastline, really, so as it's a bit more accurate for background, because people like to have something in the background. So it can be a little inaccurate, depends on what they want. The River Dart I'd like to get, Start Point I'd like to get, Salcombe Estuary I'd like to get. You know, other backgrounds, because I tend to rely upon Berry Head from different angles, or Brixham in the background with All Saints Church breaking the horizon, those kind of little things in the background. Things in the background.